It's me, Claire Sanima, host of Final Days on Earth. This is the second episode of my podcast to appear in the American Nightmare feed. If you're interested in hearing more about the life and death of Damien Hirst, please subscribe to Final Days on Earth on Apple Podcasts right now. Thanks for listening. It's Saturday night, and Damien Hirst is longboarding to an off-campus party at Western State, Colorado University. There's nothing that would indicate this is an exceptional event, but this is the last party Damien will ever attend. The details of that night will soon come under close scrutiny, because in just 4 days, college freshmen will be found dead. What happened to Damien Hirst, and who, if anyone, is responsible? From Cold Case Productions, this is Final Days on Earth, the life and death of Damien Hirst. Episode 2, The Party. I'm your host, Claire Sanima. Thanks for listening. It was April 2014 when I first came across the story of Damien Hirst. I was an editor at the Daily News website, Culture Map Dallas, and I'd just finished working on a major investigative series about a faked home invasion. I was knee-deep in complicated true crime reporting. Damien's story stood out to me for several reasons, but it boils down to this. It's a story of a boy who goes off to college and doesn't come home. For over 6 years, I've kept a file on Damien's case in my office. In that time, I've written articles for multiple outlets about the scrappy wrestler whose life ended suddenly and with many unanswered questions. But I've never been satisfied with the conclusions others have drawn in this case. When I was approached about hosting a true crime podcast in 2018, it didn't take me long to realize that the life and death of Damien Hirst was pitch perfect. The police conducted 47 interviews, and the audio recordings have never before been heard by the public. The crux of the police investigation is a party that Damien attended the last night of his life. It's a night I've spent 6 years studying, and one I now need your help to understand.
It just seemed like a standard night at the wrestler's house partying or whatever. The whole team was there.
The last night of Damien Hirst's life, he went to a house party thrown by his wrestling teammates. He jumped on his longboard, but made what would turn out to be a critical stop along the way. And that's just the beginning of a night filled with unforeseen consequences and chain reactions, including the biggest question of all. Did Damien ask for a confrontation that could have led to his death?
I thought he was just, you know, joking around, just lying, like, just trying to be hardcore.
The wrestler's party was a casual gathering, and many people came and went throughout the night. By most accounts, the party started around 8 p.m. and ended around 1 in the morning. By that time, there had been at least two altercations involving Damien, and lots of conflicting statements about who did what and why.
I remember him being drunk and everything, and then I was like, you know, this party's a little too crazy, and I was like, I'm going to go home.
When Damien's father reports him missing, police are called in to investigate the events of the party and to piece together the drunken night the best they can.
Honestly, I was pretty intoxicated that night. I'd been drinking quite a bit.
That's wrestling captain Kyle Pyatt, one of Damien's best friends and his former roommate. The party took place at his house on North Taylor Street in Gunnison, Colorado.
Saturday, Damien was over at your house.
Yeah.
Detective Grace Cowan interviewed Kyle on the morning of April 2nd, 2014.
Can you tell me kind of what happened there? And
that night, we had some people over hanging out, and he got into it with another kid.
Damien's fight is a key moment at the party, and we know it took place in the front yard of the wrestling house. But only a few people actually saw what happened. Detective Chris Danos spoke with a smattering of wrestlers. Junior Elliot Copeland.
While you're at your house during the party, a fight occurs out in the front?
Yes.
Were you aware of that at the time?
No.
Sophomore Zach Schenk.
Did you see that actually take place?
No, I didn't. I was in the house.
And junior Kyle Pyatt.
I didn't see the fight or anything about that.
Even the people who did see the fight weren't sure what they were seeing.
I witnessed an altercation between Damien and one other kid. I don't actually know his name.
or even remember what time the fight occurred.
So this fight, did it happen before you guys went to the party or during the party?
I guess it was during the party. Pi was all mad and everything was just crazy.
What time did all that take place?
I think it was earlier in the night. It seemed earlier.
Like what was earlier?
It's probably around 10:30, 11.
I kind of got in his face and we kind of got into it.
What time was that?
It was about, honestly, I don't really know. And I don't want to give you, it was pretty late. I'd say after 12.
Police eventually did nail down one salient fact. The fight was between Damian Hurd, a member of the wrestling team, and Anthony Rios, a member of the track team. Anthony had recently started dating Damian's ex-girlfriend, Marlena Romero, and Damian had made it known that he wasn't happy about it. In fact, at a party the night before, on Friday, Damian punched a refrigerator after seeing Anthony and Marlena together. Damian's friend and neighbor, Jessica De Aquila, says it wasn't uncommon for the freshman wrestler to get physical.
He's always hot-headed. That's how I describe him. He was a hot-headed kind of kid. He was a little guy, but he could stand his ground, you know, and he could get upset very easily.
On Saturday night, Damian invited Anthony to the party at Kyle's house in a terse text message at 10:49 p.m. Damian texted Anthony the address of the wrestler's house and the words, "If you down." Anthony responded 2 minutes later, "I'm coming." It doesn't sound like much, but could those simple words have set events in motion with fatal consequences? Freshman wrestler Devin Zavala described the scene this way.
When he said that he's on his way, Damian waited outside for him, and then as soon as Damian saw him, I guess he ran up on him and jumped on his back.
The fight was really more of an ambush, and it played out as something of a turf war between the wrestling team and the track and field team. This is Dylan Weinchant, a Western student who attended the party at the wrestler's house and called in a tip to the police.
Because the kid that Damian basically jumped was on the track team. Okay. And the friend that I was with was one of the track team captains, and he broke up that fight.
The police contacted Anthony Rios to get his account of the fight. But for whatever reason, they didn't record his statement. This is the written description attributed to Anthony in the police report. "Once I saw Damian, he began screaming and cussing at me. Damian seemed like a different person. At first I thought Damian was messing with me, because it was so unlike him to act like that. He wrapped me up around the waist and took me to the ground. Then Damian punched me in the face and head while I was on the ground. Damian also missed me several times and hit his fist on the ground. Some of the other wrestlers pulled Damian off of me, and some of my cross-country team members grabbed me and we left." The fight between Damian and Anthony occurred sometime after 11 p.m., and it appears to have been the seminal event of the party. The altercation changed the tone of the night, and even though the fight itself didn't last very long, the effects of it are still palpable, years later. In the immediate aftermath, the results were already obvious. Here again is wrestling captain Kyle Pyatt speaking with Detective Grace Cowan.
"I heard about the fight, and I confronted Damian about it because it was at my house, and I don't really want fights at my house, mm-hmm. So I kind of got in his face and we kind of got into it, but..."
But no physical contact at all?
"Between me and him, no."
Okay.
Kyle's description of this heated interaction with Damian would later evolve to include physical contact, and at least one person saw Damian in a headlock with Kyle's arm around Damian's neck.
"I saw Pyatt take Damian into the laundry room."
This is Morgan Lambert, another Western State student who attended the party on Saturday night. She's talking to Detective Chris Danos and refers to Kyle by his last name, Pyatt.
"When you said you saw Pyatt take him into the laundry room, what does that mean?"
"He had him in a headlock. He was just trying to get Damian to calm down."
"In my mind, when you said he was walking him in a headlock, I envisioning his arm being around Damien's head with Damian looking down at the floor."
"No, he was looking across the room. He wasn't holding him super tight to the point where he couldn't move."
"Uh-huh."
"It was just
he had his arm around his shoulder type of thing?"
"Around his neck."
"Around his neck? Okay."
"You could just tell that Damian was kind of sad, and so I just asked him if he was okay, and he pretty much just acknowledged the fact that he was being dumb and he shouldn't have gotten that fight.
In light of the fight, I wanted to understand, as best I could, Damien's state of mind that night. But what you believe about Damien's condition at the party depends a lot on who you ask. Damien's friend Jessica De Aquila lived across the alley from the wrestler's house and arrived at the party around 10 p.m.
And I wasn't drinking or anything, but everybody else was pretty drunk.
What about Damien? How was he?
He was drunk as well.
Police also heard more mild descriptions about Damien in their interviews.
That night, do you remember if he was intoxicated?
I remember a beer or two, but...
That's one of Damien's wrestling teammates, Devin Zavala, who goes by the nickname Bubba.
Would you know if he was really intoxicated?
Oh yeah, he'd probably be sleeping already.
Wrestler Zach Shank said Damien seemed coherent before and after the fight.
I guess the best question is, have you seen Damien when he's really, really drunk?
Yeah, I okay. absolutely have.
And on this night, how would you gauge that between the first you've seen him?
Like a 1 to 10 scale, I'd say he's probably a 5 maybe.
He wasn't stumbling.
No, not at all.
Type of thing.
But other partygoers saw things a bit differently.
Hi, I'm calling regarding Damien Hurd.
Okay, I'm Detective Grace Cowan.
That's Samantha Braun, a Western student who called in a tip to the Gunnison Police Department after Damien went missing.
I was with him Saturday night.
Okay.
Until about 10:30. And Damien, he was literally out of his mind. He may have smoked weed that night, and he may have drank. Okay. I'm 100% sure he was on acid.
As far as I can tell, that's the first recorded mention of Damien being on acid. Using Damien's cell phone records, I learned that before he rode to Kyle Pyatt's house on his longboard, he was trying to buy drugs. Or as Damien put it in a text message, "I'm just looking for some fun shit." It was no secret that Damien, like many college kids, experimented with drugs. In Colorado, marijuana is legal, and Damien was known to smoke weed.
He was upfront honest with me about all that stuff.
That's Damien's father, Gary Hurd.
And we talked about it, you know, the possible harm that it could do if you don't do things in moderation. And so we'd have conversations like that, you know, yeah, I understand you're in college, I understand that, you know, you need to unwind and let off some steam here and there, you know, but do it in moderation. Don't get hammered, don't be a fool, you know, don't get into the hard drugs and things like that.
Here again is Detective Danos talking to wrestler Zach Shank.
Is he the kind of guy that would try other drugs besides smoking weed?
I mean, it probably wouldn't surprise me, no.
Why is that?
He just, like, always seemed like he wanted to do everything, like, he was down to do anything, like, he always just wanted to have a good time, so it wouldn't surprise me if that happened or that it came up.
Thanks for listening to this sneak peek of my second episode, The Party. If you like what you hear, head on over to Final Days on Earth on Apple Podcasts and subscribe and finish the episode right now.